This is DH Radio on CJMQ 88.9 FM. My name is Sheila Q. Now, all you DH Radio, well, DH Radio bots, as I like to call you, who have tuned in over the last 2.5 years, you've heard some interviews. You've heard people involved in social activism. You've heard rock stars. You've heard people of all, just, you know, whoever was just piquing my interest and curiosity made their way so generously onto our airwaves. Well, tonight, I have none other than Carrie Silson.
Hello.
I was just going to say, now everybody's going, Carrie Silson.
There needs to be the dramatic pause.
Exactly. Who is Carrie Silson? Now we need the drum roll.
Here we go. Wait, you want me to answer this one?
Yes.
Okay. Well, normally I'm involved in social activism and rock starhood, but in this case, I'm playing the role of Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz, like, okay, who can put to infinity and beyond on their resume, really? Except you, Carrie.
I can.
28 years old, and basically, according to your bio, you were basically born into performing. So what? In 28 years, you have this huge amount of interesting experience and stuff you can do. Now, off the air, you said sort of a jack of all trades type, and as I told you, there are no masters. They may think they're masters, they are not. You can be a jack of all trades and still be masterful. So tell us about this. Like, how did you get started in this business if you were born into it? I'm so intrigued.
I got to try to give you the short versions here because we could be on the phone all day.
Let's go.
You know, okay, well, let's see. The brief summary is, my parents were both musicians. My father was a guitarist and graduated out of Berkeley and had bands all the way growing up. And eventually, my mother was originally a ballerina and then a singer, and she ended up being the sub-singer for his band, and that's how they met. And the more kids they had, the less band members they had, until finally we were touring around as a family act with them as a duo and my brothers and I singing kind of like doo-wop music, more or less, three-part harmony, stuff like that on stage, all the way up through my upbringing. So that brings me to like 14.
Okay.
And then by 16, 17-ish, I started getting involved more with horses and stunts and acrobatics and stuff like that, which I really just fell into. I watched a show in Florida called Arabian Nights, and I saw a guy do a backflip standing on a horse, and I said, I want to do that. So I went and applied, and they hired me as a stall cleaner, and after 8 days, I was in the show doing various things.
Well, you know what? I guess you might as well work your way up.
Exactly.
Case,
so,
right?
And, you know, one thing leads to another. Juggling was a hobby all the way through. That kind of ended up becoming the mainstream thing for me. Jugglers are kind of a commodity. There's not a lot of good ones, and out of the good ones, there's not a lot that are entertaining and approachable and all that other stuff. So that kind of became my mainstream thing. And then throughout the years, just different stuff has popped up as a direct result of those types of things that I was involved in. Other things have come up, such as Buzz Lightyear in this show.
Wow! It's just so. This is Disney's live Mickey. It's Disney Live Mickey's Rockin' Road Show.
Now you got
there's Disney on Ice, which would be at the Bell Center in Montreal. It would be held there and involves a lot of crazy skating stunts and so on and so forth. Disney Live Mickey's Rockin' Road Show is on stage at Théâtre Saint-Denis, the Saint-Denis Theater. So you're on stage, and it just seems like every performer that was in the Disney on Ice that I saw in October was, there's kind of like this larger than life quality to every physical movement. So you've got to be in pretty good shape too.
Yeah, right. And it's a little bit, the Disney live show is a little bit more intimate. The ice shows are obviously just physically, they're much larger,
mm-hmm.
You know, they're much larger and much flashier. And the live show, of course, being on a stage, it's more intimate. So it gives us it kind of gives us a little bit of relief in the physical department in some ways, but at the same time, it allows us and therefore encourages us to use more of our subtle acting and nuances and different stuff. You get to see a lot more facial expression and feel like you're right up close with them. In fact, in the live show, children and adults alike are getting out of their seats and coming up to, in essence, like a little kiddie mosh pit out in front of the stage. jumping around and waving their hands and dancing and stuff. And sometimes we can even, briefly get our hands down there low enough, depending on the size of the stage, to get a high five or something.
Yeah.
And so it's great because it's just so much closer and more personal.
Wow. It's it's so interesting to know that, because I haven't been to one of the stage shows before, but I did attend Disney on Ice. And it's true that, like, as much as you really still feel like you're involved and it's really beautiful and breathtaking, it's pretty far away. Like it's reassuring to know that we'll be in store for this amazing experience more of a connection as far as...
Yeah, for sure. And, a lot of the time, if you're in a theater and you're in a show and you see people stand up and getting up and going up to the stage, you roll your eyes and you go, oh, come on, In this case, you watch them and you go, and you join them is what you do. So anybody listening out there who ends up at the show, join them. Go up to the front, jump around, have some fun.
So what... Now, the fact that you have more of an awareness of the expressions of the audience as well, like, can you... How about now? They can see you, but what about you seeing them? Can you sort of register or see the
expressions? Well, at moments, I think some of us have better visibility than others. I personally, a lot of the time, see in the show, I'm doing a lot of juggling. I ride a unicycle. I do various stuff like that. So there are times when my eyes are way too busy with the other thing.
Yeah.
but no, there are definitely moments in the show where I can just absolutely just single out anybody or look around or, make some, and sometimes even respond to them. I mean, of course the show has to keep going and we've got scripts and we've got choreography and we've got stuff we've got to be accountable for. But there are definitely moments where reaction is in order. And there have been some funny shows where things have gone on and we've had to react to them or respond to them. And that's what makes it fun, just the fact that it's right there.
That's part of it, is you're live, you're on stage, you're in front of people, and inevitably you're also all human, in spite of the fact that you were trained at the Academy.
Yeah, right, exactly. Flew in from another planet, quite literally. I'll tell you a funny story just about people and involvement and interaction and so whatnot. There was this one show where a little kid comes out of the audience, and I guess the parents just kind of, they were just like, go ahead, up to the stage. Well, she comes to the stage, but I guess she just kind of slipped by the usher, and she was able to sneak up the little stairs and get herself into the middle of the Toy Story act and hug Woody on the leg. Breaching all security measures.
it's when you imagine those ushers who all of a sudden look up and realize that there's an infiltration. It actually reminds me of another in the Pixar movies. If you think about Sully in
right.
Monsters Inc. when Boo has made it through to the other side and into Monsters Incorporated, and she's in Monstropolis, and he sees her there and freaks
exactly
out.
It so exactly it. Woody turned probably looked horrified. I didn't get to see his face, but I'm sure that he, just because it hits you, it's such a shock, he probably did two or three dance moves before he shook the child off his leg and then gently escorted her to the side of the stage where she could be let down the stairs.
I was just thinking, now I feel like my plan's been foiled to try and sneak up. And I was...
Well, it hasn't happened to Buzz Lightyear yet, so you said you got 2 5-year-olds coming.
Yeah.
Bring them on.
They get past me all the time. So,
yeah, right. And like I said, I'm going to be looking at the juggling, so you got a shot.
You know, his hands are busy. Go, children, go.
Go.
In your bio, it's so interesting to read, like, all of the things that you're into or able to do. And it's just kind of interesting to see, like, jousting.
Yeah. It's funny. I mean, they ask for your bio, and you don't want it to start to look like a resume, but at the same time, the things that I like to do are the things that I do for work. It's not just a coincidence. It's intervention. I mean, I've intended it to be that way, and a lot of the jobs that I've chosen have been because I thought that it was right up my alley. And a lot of the stuff I've learned I learned on various jobs. Yeah, and jousting is one of them. I was fortunate enough, ever since I was a little child, I always wanted to be a knight. I was always into dragons and knights and all that stuff. It was kind of my thing. And I got an opportunity when was this? In 2005, a friend of mine that I had been trick riding with on horseback in this one show, we were featured performers at Dixie Stampede. And his father ran a jousting alliance out of California, and the father, I guess, he just had a lack of knights that year, and he needed somebody to train, but he needed them quick is the thing. So he called up his son, and he goes, "Hey, listen, son, I know we haven't always gotten along, but I need you now. Can you come out and learn how to joust and bring one more?" And the guy that he brought was me. And
wow.
So we went out there, literally, I mean, it was fast. We drove 36 hours from Florida to California, no stop, okay, 36 hours. Then we shot up north. We spent like one night actually sleeping in San Diego, and then we went up to Bakersfield where we learned to joust. I was thinking we get up there. We're exhausted. We've been driving this whole time. I'm thinking we're going to get there. We're going to get the warm welcome from the father. We're going to eat a nice meal. We're going to talk about it, and then we'll start learning, right? No, no. We pull up in the car, and we climb out, and the father comes running over. He goes, "Good to see you, boys. Horses are tacked up. Equipment's out. Jump on the horses. Let's joust, joust, joust." And we hopped up, and I swear, for 3 days, we didn't get a break. We were hitting each other, falling off horses, fighting with each other, taking turns, taking hits, the whole thing. We had a literal crash course, and then we drove north to Washington and started performing.
That is amazing. Now, I can just imagine you guys pulling in. You could see the expression. There needs to be like some kind of, the soundtrack changes right there. There's a little dead silence, and then the music really starts.
Yeah.
And then there's 3 days of jousting.
That's right. Yeah, and then it's, yeah, exactly. And then it's just a reel of hits and slams and, you know, bruises and breaks and falling on things and making mistakes and getting tired and picking ourselves up by our hair and putting us back on the horse, you know?
For any of you who are just tuning in right now, I should probably reiterate who I'm speaking with.
I know, really? Well, let's see. Let's go back. He's not a social activist, and he's not a rock star. He's also not jouster anymore, but he's Buzz Lightyear.
Gary Silson playing Buzz Lightyear in Disney Live, Mickey's Rock and Roadshow. I just was imagining these captivated listeners going, "Who in God's name is that?"
I know. I'm going to make you edit this poor thing. I'm sorry.
No way. Are you crazy? This is all going out exactly
okay, okay, good.
Like this. Hey, you know, again, from your resume, I want to write a resume like this myself. You know, personally, I think I'm going to start thinking more about the interesting human tricks that maybe I are lurking, because you have, there's perfect use of chopsticks.
Yep.
And there's can catch cue ball on forehead.
Yes. The reason I put those in, actually,
it was like those two together, actually.
Those aren't the types of things that I guess you would normally have. I guess they're kind of like conversation starters. Yeah. I put them on the resume so, you know, so somebody can ask about them. But pretty much, I was in Japan for this one show. It was another random show I did. I ended up as a living statue act in Japan. Don't ask me how.
Wait.
I don't even know how.
David?
Okay, I can't even tell that story. It was just one day I was there. Okay, and nobody ever formally taught me chopsticks. I just picked it up somewhere along childhood, and I played with it and this and that. Somebody, you know, tips here and tips there. But I get to Japan, and every time I ate, I kid you not, people would come running over to me and go, "Oh, Sugoi! Oh, Sugoi! Sugoi!" And they'd point to my chopsticks, and I'm wondering, what is it that's so cool about my chopsticks? And finally, one of the locals broke it down for me that, you know, there's a formal way to eat in America. Well, there's a formal way to use chopsticks in Japan, and most of them don't do it.
Really?
And even though they know kind of how to do it, it's usually not something that they master or something that they're good at. Well, for some reason, I just do it right.
So it's like not, you know, one chopstick in each hand and then stabbing the item with both.
No, it's not like that. No, it's very elegant and classy, and
say,
I'll be happy
jousting.
To show it to you sometime.
Sure. I was going to say, that's jousting.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You get confused.
You can
much larger chopstick.
One hand. Away you go. And, yeah, what's the deal with can catch cue ball on forehead, Kerry?
Okay, that one is kind
was
of
that
a little.
Did that involve an emergency room?
Help others before you help yourself. Let's see. The cue ball on forehead is basically, when I was young, when I was 14, there was a period of my life. There was 1 year before I got involved in the acrobatics and all that stuff, where I was stranded at a resort. Okay, my family and I, we were traveling around in a motorhome from country, state to state, and throughout the country, and we ended up in this one resort for an extended period, for that whole year. And there was nothing for me to do really there except, you know, besides my schoolwork at home and stuff like that, the only thing I had to do at that place, there's nobody my age, was play pool, work on handstands, work out in the gym, practice hacky sack and juggling. So I got really good at all that stuff.
Yeah.
And in playing pool, you know, just beyond just getting really good at playing pool, I also started learning tricks, you know. So I balanced the pool stick on my face and lay down and stand up, or I balance it on my foot, or I'll throw the cue ball, you know, from like about belt level and catch it on my forehead.
I don't want to know about the errors that happened prior to that.
And I know, really, it's a funny thing to learn. And
Gary's got black eyes again.
I looked a lot different those days. And and since then, I've learned to roll it from ear to ear a little bit as well. So
I know people who can do that in their head.
I'm fun to play pool with, anyway. Fun to take to a bar.
That's, you know what? This is the multi-talented Buzz Lightyear. Who knew?
Yeah.
You
know? And actually, well, the thing is, though, it seems like such a random thing, but in fact, it's kind of not. And I'll tell you why. Because, you know, Buzz Lightyear, in this show, he is doing a lot of stuff like that. He rides a unicycle. He juggles. He's hoisted. He's flown in from out of the ceiling, stuff like that. So the person that they got, me, you know, does a lot of quirky things like this anyway. So it kind of worked out. You know, that's kind of why I got the job.
Wow. It's just, you know, it's about having this vast interest in learning all of these crazy things. You know, like,
yeah.
I really think it should be encouraged in anybody to figure out what crazy, fun human tricks they can do. It's important to life, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, what was it? There was another thing that I had actually seen on here.
Oh, you know what? Okay, there's two things.
Go.
You mentioned gun spinning.
Yes. I'll tell you a funny story quickly before we get to gun spinning. This morning, which reminded me, when I read the gun spinning thing, I thought, I'm going to encourage my child. My 5-year-old this morning, my 8-year-old had gone off to take the bus to, almost 8-year-old, had gone off to take the bus to school, and his little brother, who's just turned 5, I was going to be driving to nursery school. So he was sitting at the breakfast table, finishing up his meal, and I said, well, it's time to get ready for nursery school. And my 5-year-old attends my mother's cooperative nursery school a couple mornings a week. So he looks up at me, he goes, nursery school? And he grabbed this little toy gun that he had, like a toy pistol that he had beside him, without flinching or breaking eye contact, raised it in the air and fired it several times. In great excitement. I was like, wow, nursery school's very gangster.
Nursery school?
Pow, 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 pow. I was like, all right.
That's funny.
I think maybe he'll end up in a reenactment of the Three Amigos.
Yeah, maybe.
All
maybe.
Right, so let's hear it. Gun spinning, Buzz Lightyear. Let's
okay, gun spinning. Gun spinning I picked up in a Western show in France. We had real guns in that show, but they fired blanks. And it was just something I kind of picked up out there. I warn you, I'm not great at it, but I'm not dangerous either. So it's there's a happy medium. There's a happy medium between dangerous gun spinning and being good enough not to be dangerous. That's about where I am. So, but I was, you know, the thing that we haven't really talked a whole lot about yet is really everybody else. There's other characters besides Buzz Lightyear.
Of
you know,
of course.
There's I mean, we've got in the show, you know, for anybody who comes on out, we're going to be there from, let's see, we're going to be there from the 16th to January 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
So we're there for a while, and it's various days throughout the time, and you can find all the details on Disney Live, Ticketmaster.com for tickets, stuff like that. In the show, you'll find Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Goofy, Cinderella, and the Stepsisters. Right. Tigger, which is a huge favorite.
Yes.
People love Tigger. And then, of course, the rest of the Toy Story cast. We've got Woody and Jesse, and then, obviously, yours truly, Buzz Lightyear. So, and everybody's got stuff going on. The whole thing is set up like a talent show. So the reason Buzz is juggling is because Mickey and his friends set off to find talent for their show, and they discover Buzz, who's juggling, but they also discover Woody with trick ropes, Jesse with hula hoops, Tigger, who bounces, of course, because that's what Tiggers do best. Cinderella sings great. The Stepsisters sing poorly. Everybody's got talents, or lack thereof. And And it all comes together in the end for the show. So.
Oh, that is so, that's so exciting. And look, it's Théâtre Saint-Denis. For any of you who have never been there, this is almost like a perfect opportunity to go in and experience it. It's a wonderful place, a wonderful intimate place to see a show of whatever sort. So it's what a thrill that it'll be Disney's live rock, Mickey's Rock and Road Show. It's just the, it's going to be a very exciting holiday in Montreal.
And I'm really excited about it too, because, you know, we're here long enough that people can really plan.
Yes.
You know, a lot of the truth is that the majority of this tour that we've done so far, I've been on tour for the last about four months, and we did Puerto Rico, and we did a bunch of U.S. dates, and the thing is, in most of these cases, we've been in as many as three cities per week.
Wow.
So I mean, we're really cruising, you know, so we might do one show in a city and pack it all up, everything, the stage and everything, all the props, all the costumes, everything, put it all away into big trucks and hoist them to the next city so that we can do shows the next night.
So what happens as far as the holidays go, like for those cast members that celebrate Christmas and all that good stuff?
Well, you know what? The truth is I didn't even really pay attention to the schedule at that point. If we've got shows, we're performing. And I think we are. I think we are performing on Christmas. I could be wrong. Don't quote me. It's all on there on the schedule online.
Yeah, for sure.
But I know that we're here. I mean, we're here through that time because the shows, if they're not on Christmas, then they're right around it. So we're here. But a lot of them are taking their holiday now, actually. We've got a few days off before we start this thing. We're off until, well, I mean, we start on 16th, and I'm already in Montreal.
Yeah.
So during this time, I'm here. And that might be partially why you're talking to me. Because I'm here. The majority of the cast has flown home to be with their various families and stuff like that. I spent my whole life on the road. My parents and my family and everybody like that, they're always moving around and doing stuff too.
Sure.
You know, we're used to this stuff. So for us, it's not as I guess, out of the ordinary.
Hey, you know? And if you ask me, you're in absolutely one of the most beautiful, exciting, fun cities on the planet. So
you know, I'm not lying. I really was looking forward to this the most. It's the most exciting for me for both reasons. I mean, for the sake that it is Montreal, I'm really excited about it. It's I mean, I've been overseas and stuff like that, and I find myself that the place that I'm in that's a little bit less like the typical American cities, the more I get along with it. And Montreal has so much European you know, influence and flair and such, and I feel like it's going to, even without knowing it at all, I feel like it's a place that's going to click with me. And then the other cool thing is that, like I said, we're here this whole month, which is so great. You know, it's great for us and it's great for the audience. Great for the audience because that means that rather than only bringing the child that's available for that one day that we're performing and then the other kids miss out because they had to do something else and they didn't know about it soon enough or something like that, you can really plan and bring everybody, which is great. You could pick the day that's best for you. Everybody's comfortable and really gets to enjoy the show at its fullest. And then for me, I get to be here this whole month. I don't have to pack up my stuff every other day and put it on the tour bus and move to the next place. I get to hang out, enjoy Montreal, make some friends, and keep them for a while, you know, and really get to explore the city and learn some stuff while I'm here.
Well, with any luck, that will all completely translate on stage, and it will just contribute that much more to the energy that you're going to bring to the show, which is already audible here on the air.
<It's> we're on the
radio now. That's a different experience altogether. You know, rather than actually seeing this performer who performs physically, you've got such a dynamic, amazing personality. No doubt we're going to experience that on stage. For everybody out there who is still trying to figure out what to do during the holidays, think no more. Go see Disney Live, Mickey's Rock and Road Show at Théâtre Saint-Denis. I think if you go to the Evenko website, actually, E-V-E-N-K-O, just Google it. Go to the Evenko website. I'm pretty sure that you can get tickets on there as well, too. But go to YouTube and watch there are videos, promotional videos and whatnot, snippets from the show. So look it up and just get a taste for it. You're going to want to go. It's going to be wonderful. Oh, Carrie, thank you so much for being on DH Radio with us.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. I wish we could just keep talking all day.
Absolutely. Oh, wow. We'll enjoy Montreal. Thanks so much.
And you know what you should do is you should plead with my, I guess, the PR directors or whoever it is that you communicate with in order to be in touch with us. You should plead with them to get a meet and greet.
Oh, that would be so
Please
exciting.
Please beg them, because you know what? You beg them enough, you probably get it, and you can try to get your kids back there to come say hi to Woody and Buzz and all their favorites and stuff like that. Plead with them.
I'm going to. Thank you so much.
All right.
Take care.
Look forward to shaking your hand.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.